Good evening. Loretta Broomfield.
Here.
Karen Bounds.
Here.
Ann Chandler.
Here.
Tiffany Dreggy.
Here.
Jenna Griffith. Sarah Hill.
Here.
Kevin Kelsey.
Here.
Tammy Kraus.
Here.
Kevin Latos. Linda McDonald.
Here.
Sorry, I'm here. I thought I was unmuted.
Oh, okay. Gotcha.
Thank you.
Josh Short.
Here.
Thank you.
Okay. And in bold at the top of my thing, I forgot to read what Leslie told me to say, is that the partner reports are in the agenda, and they will have aisle and ILA reports under communication. So I wanted to do that before I did the rest of the roll call so I don't forget. How about our Carbondale office?
This is Troy Brown.
Casey Parr.
Ellen Poppett.
Anna Yackel.
And our Champagne office?
Dr. Pamela Thomas.
And our Edwardsville office?
Jennifer Baugh.
Leslie Bednar.
Stacey Bushon.
Leah Gregory.
Rhonda Jonassy.
Cassandra Thompson.
Jill Trevino.
Okay, let's move to item three, a consent agenda. All items under the consent agenda are considered routine by the board and will be enacted by one motion. Does anyone need anything pulled?
I just like the minutes pulled, please.
All right, let's go to 3A, approval of March 28, 2023 minutes, attachment 3.1.
This is Kevin. I'll make a motion.
This is Karen. I'll second.
Thank you, Kevin. Thank you, Karen. We have a motion and a second. Any further discussion? Stacy, can I have a roll call, please?
Loretta Broomfield?
Yes.
Karen Bounds?
Yes.
Ann Chandler?
No.
Tiffany Dreggy?
Yes.
Sarah Hill?
Yes.
Kevin Kelsey?
Yes.
Tammy Kraus.
Yes.
Kevin Latos.
Yes.
Linda McDonald.
Yes.
Josh Short.
Yes.
Thank you.
Let's go to approval of April 12th, 2023 minutes, attachment 3.2.
This is Karen. Move to approve.
Thank you, Karen. Do I have a second?
Linda, second.
Thank you, Linda. We have a motion and a second. Any further discussion? Stacy, can I have a roll call, please?
Loretta Broomfield?
Yes.
Karen Bounds?
Yes.
Ann Chandler?
No.
Tiffany Dreggy?
Yes.
Jenna Griffith? Sarah Hill?
Yes.
Kevin Kelsey?
Yes.
Tammy Kraus?
Yes.
Kevin Latos. Kevin Latos.
Darn it, yes.
Linda McDonald.
Yes.
Josh Short.
Yes.
Thank you.
Let's go to Director and Staff Activity Report, Attachment 3.3.
Kevin Latos, I'll make a motion to approve.
Thank you, Kevin. Do I have a second?
This is Karen. I'll second.
Thank you, Karen. A motion and a second. Any further discussion? Stacy, can I have a roll call, please?
Loretta Broomfield?
Yes.
Karen Bounds?
Yes.
Ann Chandler?
Yes.
Tiffany Dreggy?
Yes.
Sarah Hill?
Yes.
Kevin Kelsey?
Yes.
Tammy Kraus?
Yes.
Kevin Latos?
Yes.
Linda McDonald?
Yes.
Josh Short?
Yes. All right, motion carried. Let's go to acceptance of March 2023 bills, attachment 4.1.
This is Karen, move to approve.
Thank you, Karen. Do I have a second?
Kevin seconds.
Thank you, Kevin. I have a motion and a second. Any further discussion? Can I have a roll call vote, please?
Loretta Brimfield?
Yes.
Karen Bounds?
Yes.
Ann Chandler?
Yes.
Tiffany Draghi?
Yes.
Sarah Hill?
Yes.
Kevin Kelsey?
Yes.
Tammy Kraus?
Yes.
Kevin Latos?
Yes.
Linda McDonald?
Yes.
Josh Short?
Yes. Let's go to March 2023 financial report. Rhonda?
Good evening, everyone. I'll go over some highlights in the narrative, starting with the grant status for April or March's activity. I just wanted to note we are still waiting for the LSTA portion payment for the remaining system area per capita grant funding for fiscal year 2023. I was hoping that would come this month, but I have not seen it yet. And then on the financial reports, so all activity in the financial reports are through March 31st, 2023. And in the IHLS approved fiscal year 2023 total budget remaining percentage, those percentages should be 25% for all items except for personnel. So that should be, personnel should be 23% based on the 26 payrolls in the fiscal year. So any line items with percentages less than the target benchmark have been noted with an explanation at the bottom of the statement of revenue and expenditures. And then going down to talk about the statement of revenue and expenditures in the general fund, the total revenue year-to-date actuals are above year-to-date budget by 13.6%. And that's because a lot has to do with the interest income that we're receiving from Illinois funds and receiving our system area per capita grant in a timely manner. Then the total expenses year-to-date actuals are below year-to-date budget by 14.8%. So we're doing really well in our expenditures in the general fund. And then going in to share the fees for services and materials, the year-to-date actuals of $1,424,426.26 represents 94% of the projected fiscal year 23 budget. And as of March 31st, we've collected 99.9% of that amount. So we're doing really well there on the collections for share. The total expenses year-to-date actuals are below year-to-date budget by 5.6%. So share is also doing really well in their expenditures. In the balance sheets, the general fund cash balance for March 31st was a total of $5,834,243.47. So that balance would fund general fund operations for an estimated 15 months based on the fiscal year 23 approved expenditures. And share the cash balance for March 31st was a total of $2,425,907.91. And that represents the three different allocations of the money. So the $1,294,170.82 is for the share reserve funds. The $69,744.61 is the committed funds for ebook cloud subscription purchases, and the $1,061,992.48 is for the unrestricted share operating cash. So that unrestricted amount would fund share operations for 6.6 months based on the fiscal year 23 budgeted expenditures. That's all I have to note. Does anybody have anything, any questions for me? Okay, no. Thank you.
Thank you, Rhonda. Can I have a motion and a second to approve the March 2023 financial report?
I'll make that motion.
Oh, thank you, Anne. I'll take that as a second, Linda. A motion and a second. Any further discussion? Can I have a roll call, Stacy?
Loretta Broomfield?
Yes.
Karen Bounds.
Stacy, Karen has to sign back in.
I'm sorry?
Karen lost the connection to the meeting.
Oh, okay. Ann Chandler?
Yes.
Tiffany Draghi?
Yes.
Sarah Hill?
Yes.
Kevin Kelsey?
Yes.
Tammy Kraus?
Yes.
Kevin Latos?
Yes.
Linda McDonald?
Yes.
Josh Short?
Yes. Okay, moving forward, we do not have a FOIA update or Open Meeting Act update. Is there any public comment? All right, let's go to communication. Leslie?
Good evening, everyone. As Josh mentioned at the beginning of the meeting, I accidentally omitted the partner report section from today's agenda. And that's why we have this section like called communication, so we can catch up and make sure that we include all important information. We begin tonight with the ILE partnership report. Ellen and Leah, I know you're both here. Who would like to talk about that first?
I think it's me.
Okay.
Good evening, everyone. ILE partnership met at the beginning of April, and we are moving forward on two very important projects. One is the training day for Illinois school workers. It has a name now. It's going to be called the Illinois School Workers Symposium, and it will be held on September 23rd in a virtual setting. We decided to split it into thirds. So we'll have an elementary track, a middle school track, and a high school track. And we will talk about everything from the Library Bill of Rights and respecting student confidentiality to programming, to book selection, and what to do in case of book bans. So we're looking for volunteers who would like to teach at that. So if anybody wants to volunteer, let me know. We are also moving full speed ahead with the rapid response team, and we're looking at launching that, we're hoping, by fall, and we don't exactly know what that is going to look like yet. It is going to be a hotline of some type where people who are confronted with a book challenge or an attempt at a ban can call for help, and it will be a series of volunteers. And we're going to sign up people who will be willing to attend a board meeting in support of a librarian, all the way to if you can't commit to going anywhere, but you have some expertise and you're willing to talk on the phone and talk them through their speech or just anything that we can do to help them. We also talked about HB 2789 and looking ahead to what that is going to mean for schools. And let me check my notes one more time. I think that is about it for the ILE partnership. And do you want me to talk about the other thing today?
I do.
Okay.
Yes, I do.
So this is an ILE partnership, but I just found out that our application to become an approved Illinois State Board of Education professional development provider was approved yesterday. So now we can offer PDH for our school library members. And I'm very excited and happy about that. And I'm looking forward to putting together, I'm working with our continuing education person and putting together a calendar of professional development.
Thank you, Leah. I know a lot of work went into that ISBE application. So
I was very happy to see that in my email yesterday.
Woohoo. Thank you. All right. Next, the second thing that I want to share with you is, Ryan's not here and he didn't have anything to share with us regarding ILA that was substantive. So we'll move on. I'm sure that you're all aware or have heard that the Governor Pritzker's emergency order disaster declaration related to the COVID-19 pandemic will expire on May 11th. That's the same day that it expires at the federal level. IHLS has a meetings via electronic means policy that has been in place for over a decade. systems with a library service area of over 4,500 square miles are able to meet a quorum other than in one from individuals in multiple locations. And because we have through that policy, the meetings via electronic means, we also can have individual members can participate if you need to from home or from work. You don't have to be in a physical location. You also may be aware that there were some changes to the Illinois Open Meetings Act in 2020, I believe. And I know that we've discussed those at this board in the past. The most recent was the fact that we have to have a roll call vote for each point on the agenda, as well as an audio recording of the meeting. So we've been in contact with Phil Lanzini, our attorney, and we are sending him, we're going to ask him to take a look again at that policy, the meetings via electronic means policy, to make sure there aren't any recommendations that need for changes. And if there are, we will send them to you as soon as possible. Does anybody have any questions right now about what that looks like? We can't spend enough time talking about the Open Meetings Act. I think that's what we need to know. It's really important. So we may have more news to come. Thank you.
Thank you.
I do want to say that I'm very sorry. I forgot to ask for Rita Stevens to chime in from the Illinois State Library. So I just wanted to let everyone know that she is here. Do we want to talk about Reaching Forward South? Oh, you're muted.
So we, Stacy Bouchon put together a short PowerPoint for us. Troy, I hope you have that. Yep. So just a little, we had the Reaching Forward South Conference in O'Fallon, Illinois on April 14th. It was really good to see our members and each other from our different locations at that event. And so these photos are just to give you a little bit of the feel or the flavor of the day. And just a little bit about what it takes to make a successful conference. That conference had 39 speakers and committee members in total that did intense planning on it, 202 registrants and 19 exhibitors. We also had a circulate with us at Dewey's the night before at Dewey's is a pizza parlor. I don't know if it's in all of the state, but it's kind of in the St. Louis area anyway. And it was great to have so many of our members stop by and say hi. Folks that were already in town for the conference the next day. We also had 4 board members that participated. Loretta Broomfield is a member of the planning committee. Josh Short, Brian Johnson, and Linda McDonald were also present. And then there's just some photos of our staff. We had several staff who submitted proposals for the presentation. And so there were several sessions with multiple choices for sessions to attend. And it was really well received. Does anyone have any questions in general about the Reaching Forward South?
I'm really glad I went. It was well done. It was as good as ILA, really. Well, close to it.
Great. Yeah, for one day, there was a lot of content.
Yeah.
Josh or Loretta, do you have anything you'd like to mention?
I had a blast both at the meet and greet networking event the night before. It's always nice to get together with our staff and members. And then also just I came out of the conference with a lot of ideas to bring back to my home library, and we had a lot of good conversations about some things we'd like to do for the system. So yeah, it was fantastic. I love doing this stuff. Do you have anything, Loretta?
I don't really have anything else to add other than it's one of the first times I've seen real people face to face in a long time, and that was awesome.
Yeah, I concur. It's really nice to get to see our members and even board members in person.
And we learned something.
Yes. All right. Any other questions, comments? So, statement of economic interest for Madison County is due May 1st. I did mine, and I'm sure Stacy will send me a list very soon of people I need to send angry texts and emails to get theirs done. Hopefully you've all done it though. Let's go to delivery survey update. Leslie.
Thank you, Josh. We had this on the agenda and intended to share with you an analysis of the results. Unfortunately, our staff just haven't had time to fully review those. So we're going to add it again to the May agenda so we can review it. Thank you.
Let's go to staff report. Attachment 10.1.
On tonight's staff report, we have a recommendation for one hire. It's actually someone who left our employ, left the area, and then returned to the Champaign area. It's a part-time sorter. Are there any questions?
Was there no one who's part-time that wanted to go full-time? Because I know you're trying to move to full-time people.
That's correct. And my understanding is that we did not have an option to do that with anyone that was currently with us.
I have a motion and a second to approve the staff report.
I'll move to Linda.
This is Sarah. I'll second.
Thank you, Linda. Thank you, Sarah. We have a motion and a second. Any further discussion? Stacy, can I have a roll call, please?
Loretta Broomfield?
Yes.
Karen Bounds?
Yes.
Ann Chandler?
Yes.
Jenna Grip, Sarah Hill?
Yes.
Kevin Kelsey?
Yes.
Tammy Krause?
Yes.
Kevin Latos?
Yes.
Linda McDonald?
Yes.
Josh Short?
Yes.
Thank you.
And secondary employment. Leslie, we have two.
We have two, and they were in your, the statements were included in this month's meeting packet on the board intranet. Do you have any questions about either of those?
I was just curious, what is the purpose of this? As long as they show up and they're doing their job, I guess I'm wondering what business it is of ours if they have secondary employment, if they're doing their job. I'm just curious.
Good question. So we've had this in place, I want to say 11 years maybe, or maybe 12 years when we started as a merged library system in 2011. Shortly thereafter, we were approached by the Illinois State Library and they asked us, because I believe in state government, there is a similar process or procedure. So we basically followed that procedure. It was approved by the board over a decade ago.
You also have it at federal and sometimes local government level.
Thank you.
I have a motion to approve the secondary employment.
So moved.
Thank you, Linda. Do I have a second?
This is Karen. I'll second.
Thank you, Karen. We have a motion and a second. Any further discussion? Stacy, can I have a roll call, please?
Loretta Broomfield?
Yes.
Karen Bounds?
Yes.
Ann Chandler?
Yes.
Tiffany Draghi?
Yes.
Sarah Hill?
Yes.
Kevin Kelsey?
Yes.
Tammy Krause?
Yes.
Kevin Latos?
Yes.
Linda McDonald?
Yes.
Josh Short?
Yes. So we do not need a personnel session, so let's go to the Illinois State Library report. Rita?
Hello, everyone, and I am here. Greetings from the Secretary of State as well as the Illinois State Library. And the item we wish to cover is the secretary has issued the 100 days report. This was released on April 24th, and it's outlining major accomplishments. And we felt the public and school library grants, of course, was very nice to see that they spoke about. And he talked about issuing more than $60 million in the fiscal year of 2023 grants to over 1,400 public and school libraries. The benefit, of course, supports local communities by providing new funding for libraries. And the issue is the public and school libraries rely on state grants that are awarded by the SOS to help serve the needs of their communities. And he says that the 100-day solution, the Illinois State Library has reviewed more than 1,400 applications that support the $60 million in the grant allocations for school districts, public library, and library service providers, and the Illinois Library Association to enhance library services. And the other items were the public per cap grant will be out soon, and the school district library grant letters have gone out, and the minimum is $850, and otherwise it's 88 cents per students where there are school libraries. And that's all we have. Do you have any questions or anything you want to send back to us? I guess that means no. Okay.
Thank you, Rita.
You're welcome.
Let's go to committee reports. Executive met last Wednesday. That sounds right. And we went over the budget and the operational plan and updates on the roof and the AMH, all the stuff we're talking about tonight. Kevin, how about budget and finance? You're muted.
Darn it. And I hate it when people do that. Sorry. We met on the 10th and basically approved the bills and things that are passed on tonight. We reviewed the budget, the initial budget, and Rhonda did a good job answering any questions we have. So we moved that on to executive committee. So, and we'll get a chance to look at it tonight.
Okay. How about policy and membership, Linda?
Well, Stacy couldn't be here, and I am very happy to be able to report for her, Stacy Carter. Membership considerations were discussed at our meeting, which was April the 10th. And there was the withdrawal of the special library at the Memorial Hospital in Springfield, the outsourcing of a school library to a public library. Ellen and her staff are speaking to the state library about that. And Shiloh Village School Library failed to certify. And Litchfield School District currently has no staff and hopes to have staff in the fall. And two academic libraries are reconsidering how to move forward from COVID. And recommendations for all of these members will be brought to the May committee meeting by IHLS staff and will be brought to the May board meeting to be discussed and considered. And the operational plan that we will talk about as a board at the end of this meeting will also be discussed.
Okay.
So all that we had for policy and membership. It's a lot, isn't it? Thank you.
Thank you, Linda. And facilities and operations did not meet. Personnel did not meet. Advocacy and education did not meet. But nominating did meet, Leslie, right?
Yes, nominating met. Actually, the election has concluded. There is a report in your from Sandy West, the committee chair, in your packet. They met, they reviewed the results of the election. They bring the results of the election to the May meeting for the board to accept. And then we invite the folks that are newly elected to the board to our June meeting, and they are seated at the July meeting. So we are just about to that place where we kind of renew everything again. You might also note that the committee included several recommendations in their report to improve the process in future years. We will be talking about that internally in the months between now and next fall when all this starts up again, so that we're better prepared to support them. And I think maybe one of the most significant findings that they reported was this, was encouraging us to look for ways to distinguish between two positions on the board, two types of positions on the board. One is the public library trustee, of which we have to have eight. A majority of our board of 15 has to have eight public library trustees. That's by law or rule. And then the second is the public library representative. So one are trustees, and then the public library representative is generally someone who's working in a library. So in our board this year is Loretta and Ryan Johnson. So there was a little bit of confusion when we opened the survey this time, and folks had assumed that something was available that wasn't. So we need to do a better job of being more clear on our communications. Thank you.
Let's move to unfinished business, automatic material handler next steps.
Thank you. Due to my travel schedule the last week, we had to reschedule we had a meeting originally scheduled for today with that working group. They've all graciously agreed and did another, participated in another survey for a meeting date. And I believe we're meeting on May the 8th with the working group. So we will definitely have information to share with you by the May meeting. Thank you.
Edwardsville roof update.
The roofing contractor has visited. They are now set to begin on Monday, May 1st. So I think, you know, like Anne had lots of questions in this a couple months ago about when are they starting? Well, they're not. Every time we get a date, we're like, yep, they're waiting. So now it's May the 1st. And they'll start at least the first couple of days of that week will be a rip off or pulling off of the old roof. So if there are any items that require board attention, we will definitely reach out to the facilities and executive committees. But for now, we're not anticipating anything. Thank you.
All right, let's go to new business. 2024 IHLS board meetings, attachment 14.1.
Okay, this is what we sent you late. We actually sent it to you today. I apologize again for the delay. In getting this to you, you might have even seen it with a couple of typos, which we don't like to send out, but sometimes that happens. Now that more and more agencies and organizations are meeting in person, we are encouraging you all to consider whether you would have four meetings a year in person. That would be quarterly. It doesn't mean that everybody has to attend in that one physical location, but to make it to kind of sweeten it or to create a little more interest and engagement, we are also proposing that when we have those meetings, that like immediately prior to the meeting, probably starting at 4, we have what we call a learning opportunity, like a learning opportunity. I think in the past we called them, maybe we just refer to them as learning topics. In the past, we did this right before the pandemic. We started 2 years prior to the pandemic where we just had a gathering. We asked people to come and network. Then the second year we did that, they had a CE component. And the topics that we presented in the past include taxation and levies, community engagement, and tax increment, finance districts or TIFs. And then we had the pandemic, so that all stopped. So we'd like to do that again. Those are also included in one section of the draft operational plan that relates to the board. Right now it reads as two separate items as activities. One says para-learning opportunity and a dinner with more in-person meetings. And then the second is reintroduced board networking events. Those are really intended to be the same thing. So it might've looked a little wonky when you read through the op plan. And then the third piece of this is not an IHLS board meeting, but we're proposing that we have a joint meeting with the Rails Board of Directors. We did this many years ago. We've had a couple in the past. And that would be in person, as many people that could attend. We've held them at the State Library in the past. I would imagine that we would hope to schedule it at the State Library so it's as equidistant as possible across and along the state. And Monica Harris, the executive director at Rails, and I have talked about maybe we look at April because that seems to be an easier month. Weather should have passed, winter weather should have passed by then, and hopefully folks will feel like meeting in person. So do you have any questions for me?
I remember when we did that, we were with Rails at the Illinois Library, and it was really neat to see the library and to meet people from North. You know, I enjoyed it and I learned a lot.
Yeah, I'm excited about it.
I came after pandemic or during pandemic. So I've never participated in this. Are they all in Carbondale?
No, they would be in Springfield at the Illinois State Library.
Okay. And our in-person meetings.
So our in-person meetings, we've had them. We had one at the Effingham Library. We had maybe two at the Illinois State Library. We had one in Carbondale. I think we had one at our Champaign office as well. So we tried to kind of disperse them. We would kind of move them around our service area so they wouldn't all be in Carbondale, no.
Okay. Yeah, because I'm quite a ways. I'm 40 minutes from Champaign, but I'm quite a ways from Carbondale.
Oh, yeah, no, right.
Effingham is
we're all far
a couple from hours.
Yeah. Yeah, I believe we actually had one also at the Decatur Public Library, because that is one of the location member library locations we've used in the past when prior to COVID, when we all tried to attend in person somewhere.
Okay. All right. So with those, for like people like me, they're not going to travel 6 hours, would those be Zoom meetings as well, or how would that work?
Yes, I think they would be Zoom meetings. So it'll be like, if I don't know if you do this at work, where you have some places, some screen, you know, there's several people in one and then one person, but it'll be kind of hybrid like that.
Okay. Yeah, we do that all the time. Okay, thank you. Mm-hmm.
Okay, let's go to IHLS historical budget versus actual attachment 14.2.
We included this in your packet this time last year, and so we went ahead and included it again this year. Just to give you an idea that although we include everything and the kitchen sink in our budget and our op plan, we don't always achieve that, or we find efficiencies in other ways by the time we get from when we basically finished drafting the op plan at the end of March. To when the fiscal year begins in July, there are sometimes changes in priorities for us. So that accounts for the differences in what we budget, and I think in a lot of cases, and what actually happens at the end of June every year. Any questions about that?
Okay. Let's go to FY 2024 system area and per capita grant.
Thank you. If we could start, please, with the budget. I believe that's what we have listed first alphabetically.
Oh,
no?
Yes, budget. Yes, budget.
Okay, good. first of all, I want to tell you that there is a process that we go through every year that where we post documents for member comments. So the budget narratives and the op plan will be posted and available on our website tomorrow. There will be communication out to members encouraging them to go to that site, review the documents and leave comments. This is for members. Last year, we did have a space for board member comments on the board intranet. If you are interested in that, let me know and we'll make sure that that's available as well. So that you can see each other's comments, but maybe members don't necessarily see your comments, if that makes sense. That's what that board intranet is designed to do. And then on May 5th, the comments that were submitted will be shared with the Policy and Membership Committee in advance of their meeting, which is scheduled for May 8th. On the 12th, those comments will go to the Executive Committee for review at the May 16th meeting. I also believe that, the Finance Committee will also receive comments, any comments that are related specifically to the budget. They will also see those as well. And then on May 19th, is when we shoot to gather all those documents and anything else so that we can get everything together and start putting it together for the packet for the May 26th board meeting. So that's a little bit about that posting procedure. In the budget itself for FY 2024, a lot of these priorities are the same that we've had for several years now. They also happen to align in some cases very nicely with the new Secretary of State's transition report and their his priorities for his office as well. That would be more in outreach to school libraries. That's an area where we've made significant inroads, even like tonight, learning that we just were approved to be a PDH provider for the Illinois State Board of Education. That's a significant improvement, and that will hopefully make it easier for some of our school library staff to achieve PDH hours. A definite continued focus on public library trustee training through the iLead Library Trustee Training Grant. We will begin that second year of that grant on July 1, and then we will be able to start making the different modules from that learning tool available, hopefully in the fall. Also looking at how we can improve e-resource offerings, or the sharing of information related to e-resources, including the Aspen Discovery Layer, and share the Solus mobile app for share and the McNaughton book subscription. And then in general, just an overall focus, an increased focus on advocacy, again, professional development for members and networking. We saw earlier this month that small networking event that we had at the night before the Reaching Forward South Conference had a huge impact on the folks that were there. So we're going to look for, again, more opportunities to promote that coming together when it's safe, and also continuing to look into benefits and the costs of an automatic material handler system. In terms of the largest component of our budget, which is personnel, we have recommended a 5% increase to staff. This comes to, we arrived at that number because HR Source is the organization that we work with that has helped us to develop a more accurate salary grade schedule and evaluates our position descriptions. They recommended approximately 4.5% increase over 2 years. So FY 23 and FY 24, a total of 4.5% increase. So should be made to the salary grade. So if we make that change, then 5% is a little bit more. So it keeps our current staff slightly ahead of new staff if they're at the bottom of a scale in any of those ranges. I know that we had conversation at the Executive Committee and at the Finance Committee meetings about the budget. Do you have any specific questions that I can answer right now, or any of us can answer for you?
Well, I just saw the share budget was up so much, and they increased the professional development by $21,000, and that's for 16 people. I just felt that was high. And then the professional development for the rest of IHLS was $75,000, so that kind of seemed out of kilter, because it seemed like there were several things on share. I was trying to figure out why they needed that increase. I fear that what the fear is that, okay, all the libraries will get Aspen, but then share will go up. So one way or the other, that they're going to be paying for it. But I thought that was $56,000 for professional development for 16 people. I thought was really high. I see you have the new people in there. several new hires for yet the same amount of staff. So I'm kind of curious as to those particular needs. And then I saw there was an annual staff day and then an annual or a staff appreciation day. I just wondered how that's going to, why it wouldn't be one day and how that's going to benefit our members. I always try to look at it as to see where our members will benefit the most. But those are just comments I had. I just thought share needed to be pared down for their increases that they had, because I thought some of their increases were quite a bit, even with the pricing of things.
Okay, so go ahead. Go on.
The accounting was $11,125. Doesn't Rhonda's department do all that? They have their own accountant, or you're paying out a share to pay them? Is that what you're doing?
The accounting for share is their portion of our annual audit. So they take about half our cost of our audit cost. So it's split between general, share, and the OCLC billing grant, because that has its own audit procedure too.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Any others, Ann? I hope I got them all down. I'll try to answer them in order. So the first question you asked was about, or you mentioned, was the increase in share regarding travel and or professional development. And maybe comparing that to the general fund. I hope I paraphrased that. In general, your question, you know, there are times where conferences are the ones that we go to for. The share staff can be different and are different than the ones that the general fund staff go to. We don't all go to the same conferences. So there may be additional opportunities for share one year and then the general fund another year. And I can tell you that we did reduce the original budgeted amount for travel overall by about $20,000, because we are not going to send staff to the American Library Association annual meeting in 2024. It's in San Diego, and the cost per person to travel was too high. So I just made an across the board decision that no one is going from any fund. So we do look at travel and try to take advantage of everything we see that is available by fund. And again, sometimes some conferences are every other year, and that might be what's going on in the share fund. You also asked a question about, we have the same amount of staff but new positions. That's what I wrote down. I don't want to paraphrase it. That's not what your question was.
Right. You've got a data analysis, a program assistant, and maybe that's a replacement, but it sounded like it was a new person. You have the membership coordinator that you brought in. It almost seems like you're getting a little top heavy. So that's why I was asking.
Okay.
When you consider, you know, that just basically when you consider the, you know, you have 57 hourly, 25 salaried professionals, 5 middle management, 6 upper management. I'm wondering how that's all fitting in when the whole staff size is the same, but we keep adding people. I just was curious as to why and if we're getting top heavy.
Okay, so I can respond to a couple, and some of that was what I was going to talk about in the op plan, but we'll talk about those now, about the new positions. When we look at what our priorities are and we look at the skills and the talents of our existing staff, in some ways, we will be able to take advantage of existing staff and move them into a different position. We don't know necessarily what the position descriptions will be. We are looking to have one staff member's focus include more of an absolute you X person are responsible for advocacy efforts, instead of it coming from, you know, I would do a little bit, Ellen does a little bit, Cher does a little bit. You know, we want one person to be primarily responsible for that. So that's more of a realignment within our current staff. We are also looking at doing the same with HR support, whether we can actually provide more services to each other or to our staff from the HR department. How can we maximize staff that we have currently? And then we also have, we definitely need to participate and be more intentional about succession planning and project management so that we can use everyone's time most appropriately. So that's another one where the project management / succession planning is going to be a realignment of an individual. We made that, we started with a change last month when Sarah Taylor moved from, from the delivery department to the membership department. So membership is responsible for delivery and share and membership and grants. So moving Sarah into a more of a central position will help us with, that will allow us, I hope, to focus more on project management and to use that as a tool, as a guide, as we approach projects across the spectrum. The two new positions that we are proposing are half-year positions, and they are professional positions. They are someone that can provide data analysis. That would be a half-year starting mid-year. And the second one, because we do have an ever-increasing need for programming support for different applications that our members benefit from. So I don't know what that position would be. Another programmer sounds it's not a really great description. We just don't have an idea of what that position description, the title would be yet. That's also would be proposed that would start mid-year. So as far as, and they're both full-time positions. So as far as the exact numbers of staff, I don't have that. Jill, do you have something that has right now anyway, how many staff or how many FTE we project to have, like say this time next year? Because if not, I'm sure we can get it. I just didn't know if you had that available.
I don't have it available currently, but that is definitely something that I can get. As you mentioned, those positions were mainly changing duties, so it's not really going to change the FTE. The FTE really would just be adding those two positions of that programmer and data analyst. From that standpoint, right now we stand at 94 employees. So we'd be looking at 96. We always kind of hover down right below 100 employees at any given time. And that includes full-time and part-time staff.
So Anne, if we can give you a projection, say by the time we start having committee meetings in May, would that be?
Oh, that's fine. I just wondered if you're repositioning or you're like taking responsibilities away to give to one specific, like this membership person, is that going to end up with through attrition? Is that going to even out as far as number of positions, or are we adding, was the basic question. So that's fine.
So a little of both, I think, right now to answer, and we'll get that those details to everybody. Then you also asked about, we have a staff appreciation day and an all staff day. And Staff Appreciation Day, I believe, is a national or nationwide movement. I believe that happens in the beginning of March. Is that right, Jill? And that's,
yeah, correct.
What we have done for that, again, we have some rather savvy shoppers. Jill found these really nice gifts that were relatively inexpensive per person. And then supervisors write, what we've done in the last 2 years anyway, supervisors write a handwritten note to that employee. And then they're distributed and it's available to them on the day. I think it was March 4th or March 3rd?
March 4th. Yeah, okay. It was March 4th. And we paid $2.50 per employee. So it's a very minimal cost just to recognize folks. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And then staff, I think the other one you asked about, Anne, was all staff day. We do have that plan this year for May the 4th. Yes, the theme is Star Wars, May the 4th be with you, right? Is that right, Jill?
That's correct.
Okay. We haven't been able to do that, anything where staff from all three locations come together on one day because of the pandemic. So a couple of years we didn't do that. We are doing it this year. I think it's really important because we don't see each other at any one given time, drivers and folks that work in offices and sorters, we're not all together. So that is a 1-day mandatory training and network, a staff networking or team building opportunity that we plan. I think it's really important that we know each other and know what each other does. And that does relate, maybe not directly, but it does relate to customer service to our 520 plus members. So if that's what you were referring to, that's the...
I was. It seemed like it was very expensive. And then I'm assuming then that our libraries will not have their usual, their services that day.
Correct. We don't do delivery that day. And we do, reach out to Carly that manages the Illinois Library Delivery Service. We notify them well in advance of our intention. We try to pick it on at a time when public libraries are always going to have delivery, right? But like school libraries may not, academic libraries may not. So we try to get it near the beginning of or the end of a school year. So, or even over the summer, we just weren't able to schedule it over the summer this year so that we could totally avoid any disruptions of service. But then we will have extra staff running the following day to make sure that delivery catches up right away. And then Rhonda answered your question about accounting costs for share. Are there other questions anyone else has? Or Anne, do you have any additional questions?
No, I'm good. Thank you.
Mm-hmm.
I just wanted to say that today was Library Worker Appreciation Day. I heard that on the news. Did you guys know that?
Yeah,
I did. I went and talked to my folks up at my library this afternoon about it.
Happy appreciation. You're appreciated.
Thank you.
Let's go with the op plan.
Okay, thank you. Let me switch my pages. All righty, so in the operational plan, again, like it needs to mirror the budget as much as possible so that there's consistency across the two. We do have a focus. Again, we'll include a diversity, equity, and inclusion focus. And we look at that as a little differently than maybe some agencies might, just because of the kind of work that we do. It's really important that we continue to focus on as much as possible, providing delivery every day to members, regardless of their zip code. So a small library, if they have something for us to pick up, we will pick up. If they have something for us to give to them that's in our hub, we will go that day. We can do that because several years ago, we realigned our routes so that every library is on a route every day. And so the routes are planned that way. That is a way to address equity across communities that are maybe not funded as well as each other. So that's a really important focus for us to do that. Also, we did add grant support for member libraries that want to utilize or join HR Source as a member. We have, I think, 11 members. Is that right, Jill? Public libraries that are members of HR Source now?
Yes, correct.
Sorry to keep putting you on the spot.
No, you're okay.
But we did include resources in the budget as part of a proposal, because if we are able to offer a grant, this is a grant that Rails has had in place for many years. We've just not been at the place where we thought we could, okay, now we can, let's give this a shot. We want to try it in FY24. It will significantly reduce the cost for membership in HR Source for our member libraries. We don't have details yet, but we hope to be, as soon as we know whether the budget has passed and this portion is passed, we will start getting the communication pieces together so we can make let our members know. But it will amount to a significant saving for our members. So we're really happy to be at this place where we think there's enough interest in that membership as well. And I also talked about the making sure that we have a more of an intentional focus on advocacy and professional development and the networking support for members across a type of library, as well as training for board members and marketing of board memberships. Stacy and I have already been talking about ways that we think might be helpful for board members in terms of additional resources. And that's all in addition to the trustee training grant that we're doing, as well as promotion of broadband initiatives. Troy Brown and I are gonna go to a listening session or two in Springfield tomorrow that are hosted by the Illinois Broadband Lab and Department of Commerce and Economic Opportunity, if I got that straight. This isn't the BEAD, which stands for Broadband Equity Access and Deployment Project, is federal funding. There's quite a bit of money that goes to our state and other states as well. We would like to see that money as much as possible go to support local communities through better access to broadband at their public library. That's available now to school libraries. It's not available to public libraries at the level that it's available. So we'd like to see that enhancement at a community level, because they are considered anchoring institutions in yeah. communities. That's a brief overview. Do you have any questions or comments about the op plan that we can hopefully answer?
I did see that there was more related to two members this year than there have been previously. I just think that, you know, I've read Rails is out there, their plan is out there, I've looked at it. I just think that we don't ask for enough contribution. You won't do an anonymous survey. I don't think you ask enough from your members to see what they need as far as supports and things before this plan is developed. And I know after the plan is developed, you do ask for input. But then there some in the past that I've seen, there's been very little change. So I just like to see upfront before this is done, a lot more reaching out to our members, because HLS is for them. And a part of this plan is administrative. It's not really membership, but it's administrative. So it is an operational plan. Again, I saw more, but I just wish our members could be more involved and have some more input into it. And there was only one other thing that was generally minor as to why SHARE has a separate finance committee. I'm guessing because maybe that's what the grant says. Maybe that's it. And then under membership, it was to separate school administration contracts from library contacts. I think the school admin needs to be part of it, because many school libraries only have aides. So I think the administration needs to be aware, because with this new law coming up and the changes in January 2024, I think there's going to be some changing and some shifting around for people to get served. But if the admin doesn't get some of this information, they may not know. And sometimes library aides, it's not like you have a librarian there to advocate. And we have many, many good library aides out there, but sometimes they may not feel that they can stress it as much or what the needs are.
Okay. Others? Because I think I got everything I'd like to respond to those and hopefully give you some background or feedback. I'm glad that you recognize that we have, I think you said more related to members than in the past. We are making an intentional effort to do that within our budget constraints. And you referenced the Rails plan, but I don't know what specifically you want to see that is in the Rails plan.
Well, I think part of it was just simply when you read it, and I read last year's and this year's, they are considering, they have like four main goals for membership. And then the rest of it is the administrative things they wish to accomplish. And ours is kind of put together, which I think my biggest thing is member libraries involved before this operational plan is ever put together, to get the town halls, to get their input, to see what they need more, because we're here to serve them. And I just don't see that we're asking them before this is all developed on what they need. So I think it would be helpful to have their ideas, and it might change your plan a little bit. So that's just my perspective.
Okay, thank you for clarifying. I wasn't sure what you were referring to because, you know, they're funded at like three times our amount. So they have a lot more room to provide continuing education to their members than we do. And a grants to members to join an automatic library group or an LSAP. We don't have that in our budget. So we do the most that we can within our budget and also focusing on the statutory priorities as stated in the administrative rules. I think what you're really talking about is like, and you did clarify that, Anne, and I appreciate it. The way the information is arranged in the strategic plan. We follow the way our strategic plan is lined out as in the administrative rules under an area called services to members. So in the administrative rules, so we generally follow that order. It starts with admin and then, you know, then it goes on. Rails chooses to follow their organizational strategic plan. We've not ever adopted that as a format or an order for our operational plan. I believe in FY 2022 that Rails completed a strategic plan, and that's the order that you see. I don't know that it's in our op plan, but it should be. And if it isn't, I will make an adjustment before you all see it again in May. I do intend to propose to the board that you consider forming a strategic planning committee. We've done this before in the past, an ad hoc committee. So it's not necessarily only board members, it can be others as well. And initiating that process in FY 2024 and then completing it in FY 2025 so that we can spread out the cost for that. We also do have a triennial member survey that should be posting sometime this spring, maybe before the May board meeting, I don't know. So you're right, we don't have, we have feedback from the delivery survey that informs what we do with delivery. And we are still working under our current operational plan and making sure that we are optimizing everything that was identified then. It might be older, not as current as some agencies, but again, we're trying to use the resources that we have and be good stewards of public funds. So if there isn't something in there about strategic planning, I will put a note in there. I'll make sure that we add something in the op plan. And so thank you for pointing that out. SHARE has a separate finance committee. They have had a separate finance committee since the very beginning. When we merged the organization in 2011, we had one large library system governed by a library board of 15 members. We also had four legacy automated library systems. They all had their own governance within those. We didn't change that structure when they all merged together to be one, to become SHARE's, Sharing Heartland's Available Resources Equally, that consortium. We did not change that structure. There was not a desire to do that. And SHARE members are governance are well aware of the fact that they are under the umbrella, and that's kind of how we refer to it, of the Heartland Board. So that's why we do have a conversation and we do provide the budget documents and review them rather intensely with the SHARE Finance and Fees Committee and the SHARE Executive Council, but that is why. They are a service within Illinois Heartland as a whole. And that was designed that way many, many years ago. There's not been, I think we want to continue letting SHARE have a separate type of governance. If you are familiar with Rails and you understand how that organization functions, then you probably are also familiar with the fact that their automated library groups, there are several of them, are independent nonprofit organizations. They are not connected except through some contractual services to the library system itself. In Illinois Heartland Library System, our automated libraries have chosen to remain part of the system as a whole, and that makes it stronger. It makes that organization, that cooperation between delivery services that come from the system, and resource sharing services that are primarily provided by SHARE. If you would like more information about it, we'd love to talk to you again at another meeting and explain the background with SHARE, but we just pretty much continued that that governance structure that we had prior to the merger in 2011. And then you had a question or comment about separating school administrator contacts with school library contacts. It doesn't mean that we aren't going to provide information to school administrators and staff who work in school libraries, but the way that if you've gone through certification, the way certification works, there's one contact. And so that contact has to be in a school setting, probably the highest administrative level possible, but that's not necessarily the folks that are working in the library. As you know, it could be a several building school district. And because it's such a big agency, I'm betting that superintendent doesn't know what goes on in the library day to day. And that's because you have library staff. We want to make sure that we can reach both, that we can reach library staff so that they're informed, but that we also continue to keep administrators informed. And to that end, we are working within ILE on something called, is Leah still here? Administrator Academy? Leah, are you still? Maybe she's not on the call. Or Ellen, could one of you speak to that, Administrators Academy?
That's exactly right, Leslie.
Okay.
I am still here.
Oh, good. Okay. Okay.
You can take it, Leslie. You'll speak more articulately than I will.
So we are working, it's basically an Administrator Academy already exists, but it kind of got edged out by COVID. And it was headed up by some people at the U of I School Library Certification Program. And when Jeanette Durecki, who is the data analyst at Rails, and I started talking about, she and I both look at this data very much from an advocacy point of view. So we started wondering, how can we use this data to advocate for libraries? And one of the things was we felt like we needed to reach the administration more and tell them or show them, I don't want to say tell them, but show them how important a library can be to a school. So we are in the middle of revamping that Administrators Academy program, which is basically a full day of training for administrators through a regional office of education that provides professional development hours to the administrators. And Ruth Shestine from the University of Illinois and her partner, Georgianne Burcham, I think was the last name, have signed it over to Jeanette Durecki and I. And we are just updating it because it's several years old now. And we are also hoping to launch that in the fall. Does that answer the question?
Yeah, that's good, because like I said, the administrators are going to be making critical decisions in regard to libraries and other things. So it's important to get them as part of the conversation. So,
okay, are there other questions that we can answer or comments, observations? We'd love to hear from you.
I think it looks great. I read through it pretty thoroughly. I've done a couple read throughs with Beacon Executive, and I will say the one thing that we do that Rails doesn't do is we provide that resource sharing for a 5-day delivery every day. That's something Rails doesn't do. And I'm very happy that we do that. So that's all I got.
Thank you.
I was very impressed with the operational plan.
Do we need to approve this?
Yeah, and I leave it to the experts because that's not my forte.
Do we need to approve this to go to the members?
You do not. We are going to send it anyway. We have
perfect.
Okay. And then in May, every committee that's looked at either so far, we'll look at them again. along with member comments.
Okay. Is that it for the budget and operational plan and per capita and all that stuff?
I believe it is.
Okay. Let's go to agenda buildings. Anyone would like to add to the May meeting, which is up? We're going to go over all this stuff again. So it'd probably be a little bit longer.
I'd kind of like to see the evaluation instrument for the director to be reviewed. I noticed in the operational plan that's very important for evaluation. They're going to be reviewing with staff. They're going to be updating evaluation instruments. This hasn't been updated, I believe, since 2014. And it doesn't have to go through the bylaws to be updated. I looked in the bylaws. It doesn't say anything about the instrument itself. And then we have the job description, and job description and evaluation instrument should be aligned, and it's not. So I think we need to look at that. Plus, the job description for the director was updated, revised in May of 2022. And maybe I'm wrong, but I don't recall the board ever voting on that or approving that revision. The other thing I'd like to bring up is changing that June meeting again to a different time, even if it's a little later, simply because two of us, I don't know about the rest of you, have our library meetings at that same time. So there is a conflict, and we do have responsibilities to both.
So, would you like to make a motion to add those to the agenda?
Josh, yes. Can I make a suggestion?
Sure, Karen.
Is that something that we could do as an ad hoc committee? But that isn't something we can take care of in a board meeting.
Okay.
Make an ad hoc committee to study the evaluation instrument and see if that committee believes that it should be updated. If so, come up with some ideas.
Okay.
And have a presentation to give to the board.
Okay.
I think that would be more efficient, because if we get started on something like that within a board meeting itself, we'd never finish the board meeting.
And I think it's in the executive portion of the bylaws.
Yeah.
Well, the evaluation part is not the instrument, but I'd be happy to be on that committee because I've had a lot of experience with creating evaluations.
That's something you could ask for volunteers for that committee.
Okay. So do we want to put that on? Do we want a motion to make that, put that on the agenda for next month?
To form a committee?
Yes. Do we need to have a motion to form a committee, or is that under executive?
We would have to vote on it next month to form the committee. It seems to me like it would be a function of the executive committee. I'm not opposed to doing it ad hoc, but it just seems like it should belong with the executive committee.
I would tend to agree with that, Kev. But ad hoc, I mean, there's nothing wrong with doing ad hoc at all. But
in any event, we can't do anything about changing it until it could not change until next year.
Mm-hmm.
Whatever we choose to do.
Right.
Yeah, I think we talked about this last meeting, didn't we? With that same comment.
Briefly, yes.
We did.
Josh, do you want a motion to form a committee? Do you want a motion to send it to executive? What do you want?
I'm looking at the bylaws just to double check.
I'd like to see a motion. I would make a motion to form an ad hoc committee to review the evaluation, just the instrument to make sure that it all flows. The job description should reflect what's in that job description.
Do we have a second?
Is that something that the president can just do? You can just form a committee, can't you?
I don't know. I can appoint an ad hoc committee as needed.
That's what I thought.
And they can be personnel with the system and we're not members. So I'll talk. I will talk it over with executive to figure out. I'll talk to Karen as member at large because she's done this before and then come back to it.
I don't think you need a motion for it though.
So. Okay. Yeah. I think you're right.
Well, we couldn't vote on it tonight anyways because it's not on the agenda.
Correct. But right. This is just to add something to the agenda. But if it's a thing right. I can do, I will consult with executive for some guidance on it. Anything else to be added to the agenda?
I would like to see a change of the June meeting or the time so it's later so that because it's an important meeting and it conflicts every time. And we have several people who have joined us now. There's been some turnover of board members as well. I don't know when their meetings are. But I would like to make a motion to put that on the agenda and do a poll of the people to see or take a vote.
So what is the time for our meeting, Anne? Do you have that?
We've moved it from the fourth Tuesday. It's been moved to the third Tuesday, and which conflicts with several, at least two that I'm aware of library board meetings of members, maybe more, I don't know for sure, to be at that, but we cover several important things at that meeting, and I feel it's important to be able to attend. And I wouldn't even care if it was, you know, later that day, but.
What was the point of moving it? I don't know.
Because of ALA. Leslie, go ahead.
No, ALA tends to start the end of the third week of June and goes through the Tuesday of the fourth week. And so we have staff and members who attend ALA. And this year it's in Chicago. So it's very likely more people will be able to participate in ALA.
I just wasn't aware of that. Thanks. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I'll have to miss my meeting regardless of what we do for ALA or my hometown here. It's not a big deal to me.
I'm president, so it is more of a bigger deal. Plus, I want to be in on the conversations because of the content of the meeting. So, and last time I came in, got my meeting finished, came home to join. And then because you all were in executive session, it took me at least another 10 minutes just to get in to join the meeting. So I'd like to just see it moved, even if it's the same date, maybe a later time. But I'd like it to be considered.
This is Sarah. I just had a question. If two of us can't make it to a meeting, we don't usually ask everyone else to change the meeting date, do we?
No, like Ryan okay, Johnson so had a conflict tonight.
I don't
want
to set a precedence by doing that.
This meeting was already moved because when we sign, when you become a trustee, it always says it's going to be the last or the fourth Tuesday in April or during the year, the fourth Tuesdays of the month when we meet. So a change has already been made. So change. Well, date.
I'm not gonna argue. We don't have a second to add it to the agenda. Also, we vote on these at the beginning of our year as board members. Everyone knows this when they sign up. We approve it in May, so we'll look at it again next month, and we'll do the same thing. Probably not. We probably won't need it next year because we probably won't be going to ALA because it's in San Diego. So.
But you have new members on the board that may also have conflicts that weren't here in May to vote. So I just think it's an important meeting, and you know, I have an obligation. The reason I'm on this board is because I'm on the library board. And even if you just move the time a bit, I don't see, you don't want to move the day. I see nothing wrong with moving the time a bit. So.
But 12 other people might.
Yeah. And also, I don't want to make any of our staff stay later than they already do.
Well, I can always ask, and I understand why I'm being turned down or nobody wants to do that. So that's fine. But I just say it's an important meeting that needs input because of the content of the meeting. So.
Okay. Is there any public comment? Any announcements? I have one. We are looking for a location to hold our June board meeting. Since this is the last meeting for, is it just Stacy Carter?
It is Stacy. It is Tiffany. It is Kelly Sullivan.
Oh, and Susan Tullis, because she's only Susan filling Tullis. Chastity's term. Yeah. So yeah, we'll have four people we'll be saying goodbye to. So if anyone has a member library location they think would be a good central meeting point, we'll also have our new board members. We will ask them to come and meet people as well. So if you have any ideas, send them to me or Leslie. And yeah, any other announcements? It is 6:26. Oh, did I already do? Yeah, I did public comment. Sorry. 6:26. I'll entertain a motion to adjourn.
You will certainly have it.
Thank you, Karen. Do I have a second?
Second, Linda.
Thank you, Linda. We have a motion and a second. Everyone have a great evening. I will talk to some of you very soon. Thank you.
Bye. Thank you.
Thank you.
And